Amen.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you, God, as we come to the house of God, that you're here. We thank you, God, because we've searched everywhere, God, gone everywhere, and every place doesn't love you, Father. But God, there has to be a place where you're welcome. And so we say we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you, Jehovah Jireh. We welcome you, God, God Almighty, God of the beginning, the God of all ends, oh, the Alpha and the Omega. We welcome you, God, to bless us now, to speak to us now, because we need a word, Father. At a time like this, God, where our country is ripping itself apart, not from the outside, but from the inside. And we are no longer brothers and sisters. We're parties and factions. Father, help us. We are a Christian nation that has to remember it is Christ we serve and Christ alone. Guide us now. Bless our children who don't want to go to church. Bless now, Father. This is in your hands. We are in your hands. So we submit this thing. That God, you can deliver a word to these people that they'll know that is specifically coming for them. A word that's just for them. Specifically for their situation. Hide me behind the cross. That you get all the glory. No one should be able to steal your glory, Father. No one. You alone have died on the cross. So bless now. For these men and women want to see you one day. And they want to hear you say, well done. How do we live, God, in a world that doesn't want to live right? Guide us now. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It is beyond an honor to be here amongst. I got my mom here. I don't know who that guy is sitting by you, but you're by my mother, all right? So you be careful.
That's not my
grandson. No, you're still my mom. I don't know who he is. I know him now. He likes coffee. But to all the saints of God in the house of God, and then my brother back there, I mean, yeah, this is my family. Thank you for inviting me. I think that we can all gather a word. 1945, there were three great evangelists. One of them was Chuck Templeton, Ron Clifton, and Billy Graham. Three men, three great men, 1945. And guess what? The greatest of them was not Billy Graham. It was a man called Chuck Templeton. Chuck Templeton, he packed coliseums and gymnasiums. He was an amazing. There's a book, a magazine called The Evangelical, which named him to be the greatest preacher of all time. Three youth pastors who became pastors. But guess what? After that article was written in 1945, 5 years later, Chuck Templeton walked away from the gospel. He became a radio announcer. Ron Clifton decided to walk away from the church. He said he didn't believe in God. And it was only Billy Graham who finished. You don't know anything about Chuck Templeton or Bron Clifton because they didn't make it. In a book called Friend is Strong, Billy Graham says, many start the race, but very few finish. Many start the race, but very few finish. To this body of believers, finish this. Live as if you know one day you're going to have to give an account for it. The world is topsy-turvy. The world is going crazy. And everyone's asking the question, where is God? We all, when we were growing up, we heard a song growing up. It was a Sunday school. He's got the whole world in his hands. Well, then there must be a problem because with his hands. Today, I want to look at the hands of God. Meet me in the book of Romans, chapter 9. We're looking at the hands of God. A short verse, two verses, actually. Romans 9:14. When you get it, say amen. Here's somebody flipping. So Romans 9:14, and it reads, I'm reading the New King James Version. It says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. And then using verse 21 to follow up. Does not the potter have power over the clay? For the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor. If I had to put a title for our short time today, I'm going to title it, Moving from Confused to Devoted. Moving from Confused to Devoted. Welcome to a courtroom, because that's all the book of Romans is. The book of Romans is nothing but a court case. In chapters 1 through 8, we talk about justification, sanctification. We talked about condemnation, glorification, all the different things that go into who you are, that you are fearfully, wonderfully made, that God has a place for you, that there's a plan for your life, that nothing can really stop you, that God has called you for this time, that this is your time. You will not get another time to be a Christian. There are no do-overs. Reincarnation is not on the table here. God says, I've equipped you to be great now. When we get to chapter 9, it gets a little funny. Chapter 9 is a major argument between the Jews arguing about, if that's the case, what happened to us? Chapter 9 is a discussion. How do you come into the Bible where you start out in the Old Testament with the children of Israel, but then when you go to the New Testament, you have a New Testament church? And the church that we're talking about, there are few Jews. But if the Bible began with the Jews, then all of a sudden we go to the New Testament, people like me and you come in, the Gentiles. The Jews have fallen away, and they're confused. What's at stake here is two things. Did God lie? If God promised, if these men and women are the sons and daughters of Abraham, which they are, if these men and women were the ones who came through the Old Testament, they said the fire by night, cloud by day. If these are the children where manna came from heaven, if these are the descendants of Abraham, and God promised Abraham that he would protect his seed, what happened? The biggest question really isn't what happened to them, but what's going to happen to us. What happens when you think that God is lying? What happens when you think, when you look at the hands of God and you say he's got the whole world in his hands, that everyone in this room is on the potter's wheel? When we look at God's hands, we know that Genesis says that God scooped up dirt and he made Adam. When we look at God's hands and we know that God's hand is able to hold back water, God's hand is able to bring down fire from heaven, we see God's hands, but then all of a sudden we have a problem with it. God's hand is everywhere, but somehow, sometimes it doesn't seem to work in our favor. The hands of God, you can go to Psalms 139. I'll read a verse for you and you'll know this one. You know where I sit down and where I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar off. You search out my path where I'm lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. And I'll skip down of Psalms 139. I'll skip down to verse 7. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heavens, you are there. If I take up the wings of the morning, there you are there. Even there, your hands shall lead me. If this is the same God, what kind of God exalts some and brings others down? What kind of God curses some and blesses others? Maybe this not might be you, but maybe this may be you, and this is a good point to stop. The greatest teacher in your life is life itself. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
The greatest teacher, then this you'll know then, God's ways are not our ways. But hold on to his hands. God's ways are not our ways, but hold on to his hands. I know it's confusing, but you're going to understand something. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? The word that we look at right now, I want to look at is shall we say. The word is epon in the Greek. And what it means is, it's a conversation with yourself. It means epon. It means to express a thought, an opinion, a question. Have any one of you ever gone someplace and had a conversation with yourself? Should I buy this? Should I not buy this? Should I go here? Should I not go there? Epon. That you're talking. You're not talking to anyone else. You're just talking to yourself. But what about when you look at yourself and you ask God, is God fair? Because if you look at the Bible, this is a Jewish person. Imagine if you can just use that. A Jewish person is saying, is God fair? He chose us to be divinely adopted. He showed us his glory from the cliff of the rock. He brought a cloud by day and a fire by night. He gave us manna from heaven. He gave us the covenant. We are the sons and daughters of Israel. Is God fair? Paul is saying one thing. He said, no matter who you are, you cannot put God in a corner. To someone in this room, you cannot make God do what God is not going to do. There's one thing, God's sovereignty is true, but your human responsibility is what the problem is. What's making you so confused? How much power do you have over God? That's really what this is about. That's what your whole life is about. Your prayer list has nothing but prayer requests, and you want God to answer every one of them. But what if he doesn't? Is he still God? Is he still God? You have one problem you're running into. You have God's sovereignty, but then you have your human responsibility. What responsibility does the clay have to the potter? What do we tell God? How do we tell God? The book of Genesis opens up with this major, confusing situation. We have two twins born, Esau and Jacob, and God chooses the lesser. God chooses him. He says, Esau, I hate. Jacob, I love. And if you think that's funny, everyone in this room, you've had a bedroom for half of your life, but majority of us are going through sick rooms now. Problem after problem after problem. And it doesn't matter if you're saved or not. Life's not easy for Christians. How would you like this? You join a church and you're faithful and wise and you do everything you can. You give faithfully. But there are other people who don't go to church, who God is blessing, who are going through the problems that their kids are blessed. And you're wondering, what am I doing wrong? Is there injustice in God? I know you're thinking to yourself like Ebon, but while you're thinking, hold on to this. No matter what you think, you have to hold on to God's hand. If you can praise God for that, then I'm going to hold on to God's hand. Can I get one hand clap of praise? I'm going to hold on to God's hand. I know it may not seem right, but I'm going to hold on. This is my second point, and this will help you really quick as we're trying to get through this confusion. There are two positions in life. God's position and yours. It will never change. God will never be you, and you, my brothers and sisters, will never be God. And that's where your problem is. But we can settle that today. There are two positions that will never change. God's position and yours. The Bible says, has the potter have no right over the clay to make out the same lump, one vessel of honor and one vessel of dishonor? If they were a job application for God, it would actually be this, that we're looking for a being that is omniscient, all-knowing, a being that's omnipresent, that's everywhere at the same time. We're looking for a being that's immutable, that's unchangeable. We're looking for a being that's eternal, that's above and beyond time. We're looking for a being that's self-existent, that needs nothing. We're looking for a being that's holy. That means by definition that is just good. We're looking for a being that's just, absolutely right in all its decisions. And tell you what, my brothers and sisters, none of you in this room are qualified. There's not a man or woman born that can take God's job. I'll use an illustration like this. My sister and my sister, you have two grandkids, 17, 25. You have your house, they have their house. If they were to come into your house and start moving things around and saying, I want to do this and do that, and I want to take this right here and put this right here, what would you say? Whose house is this? Well, why doesn't God have the same right? Did he not make the earth in Genesis? Is the earth not his in the fullness thereof? Is it not God's right to do what he wants to do? Is it God's right to do what he wants to do? Paul is in the middle of a metaphor which comes out of Jeremiah 18:6. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to. This is this discussion that is going through the Old Testament that's in the New Testament. And Jeremiah 18:6, it talks about the potter and the clay. You can start at verse 3. It says, so I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand. So the potter formed it in another form, shaping it to best at him. Then the word of the Lord came to Israel. He said, can I do with you, Israel, as the potter does, declares the Lord. And if you want to be clear, there's another verse in Isaiah 29:16. And it says this, you turn things upside down as if the potter, you were thought to be like the clay. Show what is formed. Say to who formed it, he did not make me. It reminds me now of what we have right now. God made a mistake with me.
my brothers and my sisters, there are two positions in this world that will never change: God's position and yours. Today more than ever, we don't need to see more things. We need to believe more things. Today more than ever, we don't need to see any more miracles. What has to happen is somebody's got to say, I believe God on what he's done for me. It has to be that way. It has to be in this organization. You have to believe God, even if you have one person in here, and say, God is still blessing us. Amen. You have to believe. You cannot expect to see something and believe. You've got to reverse it. I believe and then I'll see it. That if I believe it, that healing's going to come, I'm going to keep on believing. I'm not going to stop believing. And guess what? Healing doesn't always mean on this side, because healing's still on the other side. Because last time I checked, he's the God of the living and God of the dead. So guess what? You still get your prayer answered. How about this? What's really going on in the text? We're really talking about predestination. Really what we're talking about, and I don't know if we've talked about this before, predestination is God, who is eternal, has made a plan for your life. Before you were even born, he said, to get you where I am, I've got to take you through this step and that step and this step. And you may not like it and you may not understand it, but one day, just one day, even though that young man may grow old and may not see you again, one day you're going to a place where wickedness shall cease. One day we're going to meet in a place we call heaven, that God is talking to someone right now, that you have to go through this. That this is part of your journey. I know you want this to be easy, but predestination says that God's got a plan and you ain't got nothing to do about it. That God says, I've already planned this. I planned the mistakes that you made. I planned the people that you were going to do wrong. I planned the people. I planned everything so you could meet me in glory. The Bible says in Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that they might be the firstborn within a large family. Romans 8:29 is your answer to your problem. That God has already predestined this. That this is really not about you. And this is my little third point, and you're going to love this. And you're going to write this down, because this blessed me. Don't be fooled by your situation. God is really working on you. Don't be fooled by the situation. I don't care what's going on in the world. Guess who this is about? You and God. This is not about anything else. Because in all truth, who can you really answer for? Only you. You can't even answer for your spouse. There's only one person you can answer for, and that's you. Do not be fooled by the world. Do not be distracted. If no one comes in here, will you praise God? If no one comes in here, will you praise God? Do you need a crowd to praise God? Is that why you praise him? Do you need people to give you assurance? Or is your assurance, I already know where my faith is. I know who my Savior is. My assurance is in God. It blows my mind when you got problems after problems and bills after bills. And when you really look at it, did anyone have problems in 2017? Did you make it through those? Yes. Hey! It's 2018! Come on, man! Come on, help me! If you had problems in 2017 and he made a way out of no way, why won't he make a bigger way in 2018? Yes. Do not be fooled by what's going on. This is about you. Has the potter have right over the clay? Is he God of your life or not? That's what this is about. Is he God of your life? Or are you teeter-tottering? I serve the Lord when I want to. I come to church when I want to. I bless him when I want to. Or do you say, I will bless the Lord at all times? There's a story in the book of Luke chapter 15. Luke 15:11. It's the story of the prodigal son. And this is the story of every prodigal son and every prodigal daughter. And it's a story that talks about a young man who wanted everything that was his, or a young lady that wanted everything that was theirs, and said, Father, give me my goods. And you know what their father did? He gave it to him. This child ran out and did everything he could do. He gambled, he smoked, he cheated. And then when luck turned on him, he was in a pig swine. You can update that. He was in the ghetto. And guess what? He realized, if I can just go back to my father's house. Well. And the beauty of that is, because I don't want to clip this, the beauty is this. As he was coming, God was waiting on him. Is there anybody who was that child that when you came back to church, when you came back to God, God didn't judge you. He was waiting on you. He was waiting on you. He was waiting on you. So there's nothing that you're doing. Can I say it again? It's predestination. That God already knew it. And how about this one? See, we want to wear a cross, but we don't want to bear a cross. We want to wear a cross. See, you want to look saved. But when the tire hits the road, you say, God, remove this. And God says, that's what this is about. If a Christian cannot be saved in 2018, you are not saved. You have to stand now. This is your time. If you cannot tell your children and your grandchildren and you know they need Christ, you have to tell them now. It is not, I'll write it to them later. I don't want to offend them. Well, no. Now. You have to do this now. There was a commercial once I remember. It says, if you're sure, raise your hands. And I want to ask you that. With all that's going on, are you really sure you want to run for Jesus? I just want to know, will you raise, if you're really sure, because I tell you what, you're going to be tried. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be called out of your name. If you're really sure, I tell you what, hell is going to be at your doorstep every single day. He's going to be after your body, after your mind, after your children. He's going to have you thinking and wishing you were dead. But I got a question again. Are you really sure? This is what you want. You see, you want to be saved for show. God wants you to be saved for sure. That's what this is about. Is God fair? He saved you when you're headed for hell. Is God fair? He woke you up this morning. Is God fair? He gave you the loose of your limbs. Is God fair? He gave you the house that you have. Is God fair? He gave you the family you have. Is God fair? He gave you your grandchildren. Is God fair? Is there anybody that was sick that God healed? Is God fair? Is there anybody that was down and out and God picked you up? I got a question. Is God fair? Is there anybody, can you be a witness? My God is more than fair. My God is more than fair. My God is great. My God is awesome. What do I tell a group of people that don't realize that God is looking for a witness?
Yes. Amen.
How do you tell that to someone? That God is only looking for a witness now. No more talking. You have to be a witness. Does the potter have power over the clay? God needs a witness, and are you available? Yes. That's what this is about. Are you available? God has already predestined everyone in this room to be with him. And the only one who can ruin that is you. You may not like the trial. You may not. You may not like any of this. But let me tell you a little bit about the potter. The same potter that's molding the clay, he's got a little problem because his hands are nail scarred. Because you see, he's already gone through hell and high water for you. It's the same part that says, before you got to go through, I went through. That I died on the cross for you. Calvary will attest to me. And I did it for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
He didn't go to Calvary for him. He went to Calvary for you. How can I tell the clay that it has to obey? because I too was obedient, that when they took him to the cross on Friday, he never said a mumbling word. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. 42 generations, he came through. He came to a virgin, and guess what? He surrendered himself and died for you and me. And you mean to tell me that he's asking you to live a life that he needs you to live, and that's too much to ask? And you ask him, is God fair? Would you die for you? He'll want this easy. God wants you to be sure. When he died, hell was so excited. But the beauty of it is, he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He didn't just die for me and you. He died for Abraham. He died for Isaac. He died for Jacob. He died for everyone in the New Testament. Zechariah, Zephaniah, you name it. Habakkuk, you name it. Every prophet, everybody. When Christ died, he died for all. He died for your grandmother. He died for your grandfather. He died for your great-grandchildren who haven't even been born yet. That's what type of God he is. And the Bible says, Friday he was dead. Saturday he was dead. But early, I don't know if you get excited about that, but early he got up. He got up. Can somebody say hallelujah? Early. Let me tell you why that's good. Because he says, now unto me all power is in my hands, that at my name every knee shall bow, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. So now you have a name that you can call that will bend cancer, that will bend diabetes, that will bend COPD. You have a name that will take away pain. Just by calling the name, there is no pain in the name Jesus. And that's why you're here. But I've got to go back to my main point. Is there anybody in this house that believes that God is fair, more than fair? You could just stand up and praise God. Can you praise God? God, I thank you for the life you've given me. I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you for my children. I thank you for my great-grandson. I thank you for everything you've done. I thank you for the little bit of help I got. I thank you for the country I live in. I thank you for the military. But most of all, I thank you for Jesus. That every one of you, you have to create a legacy with your children.
Yes.
They have to see you going through this. And they'll say, I'm like my grandmother because she was strong. Because my grandmother, when she was going through hell, she didn't cry. She called on the name of the Lord.
Yes.
That no matter what, she told us to pray. That you'll be creating a legacy of strength. If they do not see you praying, how will they pray? I'm like my grandfather. When he lost everything, he just kept on believing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a legacy we're creating. You want someone else to lead your family, but it's you.
Mm-hmm.
If your family goes under, it's you. It's you and you and you. God has called you for this time to be strong, to be empowered, to be a witness. We open up the doors of the church now. I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. But if your life does not have victory in it, you need prayer. There's no way. If the devil has got you down, this house is a house of prayer. That you would come to say, I need to pray. I need to join with someone to pray. Let's do the first call for salvation. Does anyone need salvation? That they need to know that when this is all over, I got a place in glory. That when I get sick and I'm ready to die, can I tell someone, let me die. When this is over, I don't want to come back. I don't care how I go because I know where I'm going.
Yes. Yes.
pray that we should come together, that we should be together. Is there a woman that would want to come pray for her children, your grandchildren? Is there a woman that would say, I'm going to pray for my family? Is there a man that says, I want to pray for my family?
Yes.
Would you come? If that's what this is about, God will give you the increase. It's already coming. But will you come and pray? For that's what it was all about. The church in Rome had to realize that we don't need anybody else as long as we have ourselves. That we come to pray. We come to call on the name Jesus.
Yes,
is there anyone else that would pray for your family? We got to make a circle, y'all, because that's what the circle cannot be broken. You can't pray. We're going to make a circle today. Well, hold his hand. That this body of believers this is your season. This is your time. It matters what time you came in. But God has called you to be a witness. Does the potter have power over the clay? Is there injustice in God? The answer is no. Because he saved you when you shouldn't have been saved. He restored you when you shouldn't have been restored. If God brings back what you've hidden, you would wish you were dead. There is no ambiguity in God. That someone in this room needs to understand this, that you're predestined. Heaven is your home. You're not meant to stay here. Heaven is your home. And you cannot get there by skipping. It'll be through trials, through tribulations, through pain, through suffering.
Yes.
But no matter what, you're going to make it.
Oh, yes.
Let us pray. Father God, all that you've asked, I've done. That God, that you bless the circle. That God, that hell is raging in their lives. God, that there's so many things, God, that they don't even want to share, God, that sometimes they wish they could walk away from the church, God, that it becomes so weighty, God, because sometimes the devil whispers in your ear and we watch our children be slung in front of us and they're not going anywhere. They're only getting worse. We look at our world and we look at the news. We can't even watch TV.
Yes, Lord.
But God, our hope is in you. That our strength is in you. That I will not turn around. That I will stick with God. That my hope is in you, God. That I'm determined. That I'm not playing no more. I'm not confused. That Jesus Christ is the center of my life. That God, I give my life away. That God, my life is built and built on you. That you are the solid rock in which I stand. No other hope. For everything else, Father, is sinking sand. That it is not a color now. It is a spirit. Save us, God. Save us, God. Empower us, God, to do what you will us to do. That you will be pleased, Father. That when that day comes, and it will come, when the sky cracks open, and you start calling us home, that when you see us, when you ask us, what did we do? And we'll be able to say, God, I did everything you told me to do. That I ran for you when I didn't feel like running. Yet I served you when I didn't even feel like serving. But I realized it's not a feeling. I've been called to this. That this is my mission. This is my ministry. But better than that, this is my witness. That Father, we would be a witness for you. If these are the final days, we would be the remnant. Bless us now, God. Cover us now. That every prayer be answered. That every sickness work out to your good, Father. That everything go according to your plan. Not our plan. That God, you know what you're doing. You've worked out eternity. That we trust you now. That if it's our time, so be it. If it's not our time, so be it. But that we would put our hands in your hands. And we would say to the potter, do with me what you will. That I am your servant. Well, that's what this is about, isn't it, Father? That we would be servants of God, not God serving us. Bless us now, Father. That we surrender our will to your will. As Jesus said, I commit my spirit to you, Father. We too say the same things. We commit our spirit to you. We commit our will to you. That we, the clay, desire nothing more to be what the potter wants us to be. And that's enough. That this is our prayer. That our children and our children's children will see that heaven is a place for prepared people who've surrendered. And we will be the first in our family to surrender. All this we ask in the only name we know. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Give God some praise.